Just to introduce yourself, could you please tell us more about your musical background before Ego Kill Talent?
Well, before Ego Kill Talent, I had another band with Raphael, who is also in Ego Kill Talent. And actually, when I first met Jonathan back then, like 17 years ago, something like that, when he was recording in Rio with his other band called Reação em Cadeia, which is very big here in Brazil. And we met back then. And then many years later, actually around that same time, we also met Sepultura, the guys of Sepultura, because we toured together with that band that I used to have with Rafael. We supported Sepultura on tour a few times. And then that was how we connected with Sepultura. And then you fast forward a few years, and Jean left Sepultura. He was a Sepultura's drummer, and then he called me and he asked me, you know, what are you doing? And then we decided to jam, and we created this band. They ended up becoming Ego Kill Talent. So, but we all know each other for many years now because of past projects.
Okay. Yeah, if we come back a little to the 2017 period and the release of your first album, called also Ego Kill Talents, do you have a souvenir or one event that's in your mind, in retrospect, will kind of sum up this whole period around this first album?
Oh, there are some. There's a few things that happened. Like Around the Nimes that we played in France, that was a very iconic moment for us on that tour. Well, we also played Les Enites with Intemptation when we toured with them. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are so many remarkable shows. We played Brixton Academy, we played the Maracanã Stadium with the Foo Fighters and Queens of the Stone Age. So there were some landmarks. And actually, to tell you the truth, we really enjoyed each step of the way. We really enjoyed everything that happened. So, yeah, I don't think there is one thing. It was just like the whole road of that album was great, great, really, really good.
Okay, you also played in Download Festival in 2017.
Yes. Yes.
I don't know if at that time you were used to play in front of huge crowds. Any special feedback from this Download Festival experience?
That was the first time we played in Europe. Our first show in Europe was on Download Paris 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And when I recall this show, I remember the crowd was like insane, you know. We were the last band, right? Yo.
Yes. We were.
Yeah, we played after System of a Down at the camping stage. Yeah. But was like, wow, you know. We have some footage of that night, and was really cool. You know, we had some opportunities to play in front of huge crowds with our former bands in the past, you know. But it's a new territory for us, because we're grinding for something new, you know, especially in abroad, out of Brazil, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The pictures and the images we can see from that period seems to be pretty intense, for sure.
Yeah, it was.
And as you mentioned, you were all experienced musicians in 2017, but the good thing with the Ego Kill Talent is that with all your hard work and the quality of the music you released, you quickly went to play very big shows and to, as you mentioned, to tour with huge bands like Foo Fighters and System of a Down. So I suppose at some point, After years and years of work in different bands and different venues, it's also rewarding to be able to quickly, with this new project, reach such level, even if it means that you will have even more work to maintain and to continue the rise up.
Absolutely. And I think that all the experience we had in the past, it really helped us to make smart choices with this band. You know, because we did stuff before. You know, we did we released material with other bands, we toured with other bands before. So when it came to Eagle Kill Talent, I think we used all that experience and network to, you know, to push the band, you know, and to make smart choices.
Okay. I might be wrong, but I always have the idea that when a band is ending a chapter in his history and start to decide to go further to a new album, they kind of gather together and they chat to see, they brainstorm to see where they want to go musically in terms for the next step. Was that the case for the band before, by the beginning of the work on the Dance Between Extremes?
Actually, I think it's with us, everything is usually much natural, in the sense that we were already writing songs, and you know, in different situations a new song would come, like during a tour, or sometimes like one of the songs called In Your Dreams Tonight, we wrote it when we were in the countryside, in a country house, you know, just enjoying a weekend, and then that song came, and other songs like Lifeborn, it came when we were just finishing recording the first album. So I mean, the songs they kind of have their own life, you know, and they come, and we just work on it. So it's for with us, it's kind of the other way around. When the new song starts to surface, we kind of say, okay, so interesting, the songs that are coming, they are more in this vibe or that vibe, and we label it afterwards. You know, we after we are already writing the songs, we go like, okay, this album is going towards this style or something like that. So it's not like we decide generally. It's more like it's what comes, you know.
Okay. You decided to release this album in three parts.
Yes.
To tease it, I would say, in three parts. Why such a strategy, I would say?
Because then and then.
Yeah.
The album was recorded and finished back in 2019, and we were supposed to release it fully on during the first semester, during our tour, our world tour, which was pretty great, pretty big for our summer in 2020. And when we realized that we wouldn't be able to tour, we decided to split it in three parts. So this way we could stretch our campaign and stay relevant for our fans during these troubled times, you know.
Yeah, it makes sense in this very, very special period we experience for now about a year. What's the creative process within the band? How do you work? How does a song is created within Eagle Kill Talent?
Well, it's very, there is really not a recipe. It's very organic. Anyone in the band can come up with the guitar riff idea or with a harmony. You know, it's really like, or sometimes like with just a drum groove. I just remember, Jonathan, that is that new song that is really cool that Raphael just brought this really cool drumming idea. We need to work on it. Remember, it's just anyone can bring something, and then we just take it from there. You know, usually it's like when someone brings a idea that touches everybody, that everybody's like, oh, this is good stuff. Then we just take it from there and start to nurture it and develop it together. So there is never a formula, you know, it's always fresh. And I think that's important, because this way we don't put limits in our creative process, you know. And so usually someone brings an idea, we all start developing it, you know, or whoever is present there, because it might be a situation like Jonathan might be in Rio, where he lives, and we are in São Paulo, so we start, you know, just like shaping this new idea. And then when Jonathan comes to São Paulo, we show to him, and he listened to it, and he was like, okay, I like it, but I have some suggestions. And then he brings his perspective, and then we just mold it, you know. Or it can be a different situation, like me and him and Rafael doing something, and then Gian comes, and he brings his vision to it, and then we just add to it. And it's really cool, because it feels sometimes like, let's say we are writing a song together, me and Jonathan, and we give our best to it, but we are still limited by our own vision, right? So when we bring to Gian, for instance, he have a different approach to it, because he's a different person. So he brings another element that takes us further in what we were doing. And so that's very much like the process. And as far as melodies and lyrics, usually, you know, it can be either while we are still creating the harmonies, or after we already have the song kind of structured, Jonathan comes with some melody ideas, you know, and sometimes it already comes with some words here and there, and goes like, okay, this word would sound cool here, and then we look for a lyric around it, and it's really like it's a flow, you know, and we just follow the flow.
Okay.
And then we work very collectively.
Yeah.
So the band is a democracy? Everybody
I don't think it's a democracy, but I think it's more like
the word. Yeah.
But it's more like we want everyone in the band to be happy, you know.
Exactly.
And we go
on a democracy,
as far as make us happy, you know.
Yeah. It's because, not like in a democracy. Exactly. In a democracy, might be a situation where, you know, I choose this, you chose that, and two other guys choose the same. So, okay, that's the majority. It doesn't work very much like that. I mean, there are situations that you have to go like this, like when you're going to decide a T-shirt or something that you are in doubt, you just have to vote. But as far as the music writing, you know, and developing the song, which I think is the heart of the band, we just want the five of us to be happy and like really, you know, thrilled with the song, and then that's when it's done. So in that sense, it doesn't matter who is developing the idea, if because there might be a situation where Jonathan and Gian are developing an idea, and then they show to us and it goes like, this is fucking awesome, I don't want to suggest anything, it's perfect,
yeah,
we already love it, so that's it. But it might be a situation where someone would come with an idea, and someone else in the band would go like, I like it a lot, but I would like to try some stuff. And then we just try it, you know, to the point that we are all happy with it.
Okay.
And I think the challenge is to do all that without taking yourself too seriously. It's like, it's really much more about the feeling that you have. Like, okay, I feel good with this. Okay, so then that's the point we want to achieve, and not so much like, because sometimes that's also interesting. Sometimes the other guys in the band, they push your limits, because you might listen to something that usually you wouldn't do, because you just think different, but then you absorb it, and then you get it, say, oh, that's okay, I see, it's not what I would do, but it's really cool, man, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, I think on the album you have 12 songs. Did you only demoed until really like finalize 12 songs, or you finalized more and then you had to choose?
this album with...
Go ahead.
For this album, we wrote, I think it were 12 songs, and we add another one. One of them is a single that we wrote together with John O'Mine, the drummer from System of a Down.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the album all set, the whole thing demoed and done. But we had this one song called Our Song that we wrote in Los Angeles right before to get into the studio, you know. But we pretty much did everything before to record it, you know. And we always try to make the best of what we have with what we have. We did not write 30 songs, 40 songs, and then we choose, you know. When we start to work on something, we go until we finished.
Okay. So as you just mentioned, so you recorded in 606 studio in Los Angeles, which is also known to be a studio from Dave Grohl of the Foo Fighters. As you mentioned, you met the guys before during different gigs. How did it happen? Why did you choose this studio?
Well, we already knew we wanted to record in the U.S. For many reasons, because we wanted the band to be all together in a different country. We were also agency in the U.S. and DMV and management in the U.S. So we felt like it would be a good moment to be there. So we already knew that we wanted to record there. So when we started talking with people, where would we do this? I was talking with people from the Foo Fighters management, and they suggested, they said, why don't you record the 606? Would you buy them? They said, we would love it. And that's basically how that happened. We were invited by their camp. And we loved it. It was an amazing experience, you know. Very inspirational place.
How long did you stay there to record?
Well, we stood in L.A. for almost 3 months, and recording was a little over 1 month.
Okay.
More than 1 month.
You had enough time.
Daily to six. Like every day.
You had enough time to try some stuff, to slightly modify the songs, or as you mentioned before, you were as ready as possible before entering studio, and then you focus on recording the best possible songs.
Yeah, we had everything pretty much done before we entered the studio. I mean, we did try some stuff here and there, like changing a chord, or, you know, changing a little bit the chorus, you know, making this part bigger, or changing the groove of this part, but very small stuff. I mean, the majority was done before.
Okay.
Yeah, and we experienced, and we tried some flavors using like amplifiers, guitars, and all sort of gear that we were able to use there. We used it to bring some different colors to and flavors to our music, you know.
Okay, so on the record you also have different guests. As you mentioned before, Jonathan, you had John Dolmayan from System of a Down, also Roy Mayorga from Stone Sour. Why in particular these musicians? You may have met, especially System of a Down before, because you shared some stage together. And Roy, because, I mean, he's one of the key player in Brazil. Let us know, but why do you choose those guys?
Well, John Dolmayan was really because of the friendship, and we've been talking about writing something together for a while, and then when I told him that we were going to record in the U.S., he was like, man, I would love to play drums in one of your songs, and then we decided actually to write a new song with him instead of just, you know, like picking a song from the board. We decided let's write a new song from scratch with him. So that was how John made it happen. Roy Mayorga from Stone Sour was a different story. We were on studio and at 606, and for the beginning of this song called Silence, Steve, our producer, he turned to us and he said, you know, I think it would be nice to have a drum machine in the beginning, in the intro of the song, and we love the idea. So we start trying some drums machines from the studio, but then he goes like, you know, I know the one we need, and I have a friend who has it. So he called a friend, and his friend shows up at the studio, and it's Roy Mayorga, you know, from Stone Sour. And so he brought his drum machine there. We showed him some songs. He really liked it. And actually, right in the moment, we asked, how do you feel about maybe you programming that drum machine for us? And he said, man, I'm down. I can do it right now. So that was how that happened. And then we also had the skateboarder, Bob Burnquist,
yes,
playing percussions on that same song. And, well, Bob is a very good friend of ours. He has been like part of the family for a while. He skated while we were playing Lollapalooza and also in Rock in Rio. So, I mean, he was around in LA when we were there, because he has this this big ranch where he has a mega ramp, and we went there for a weekend, you know, just, you know, to relax a little bit, and he was like, I would love to play some percussions in one of the songs. So he came back to the studio with us a couple of days later and recorded the percussion for that same song that Roy did, the drum machine.
Great. I think will be my last question, because I think my time will soon be up. What is planned for you in the coming months, and what can we wish for you guys at Ego Kill Talent?
Well, we are next, the following months, we are doing everything we can to help promoting the album, you know, more interviews. Probably we're going to film some live performances, live sets, playing the new album. We might do another live stream. Sure, we'll do a live stream on Twitch. And so there is that. We're all already working in new material. And for sure, you can expect that we're going to be touring once the pandemic is gone. I mean, we are constantly talking with our agents to see the horizon, you know, like, okay, when it's looking like that's going to happen. Right now, it's looking like it's going to happen in 2022, mm-hmm. But there are already shows being booked for 2022.
All right. And do you plan also to, when possible, to release new video clips after Deliverance?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so there's more coming. All right. Thank you very much, guys. Yeah. It was a real pleasure to talk to you and to chat from France to Brazil. Wish you the best
for the coming weeks,
and hope to see you on stage in France.
Yeah, likewise, man. I'll be there.
Okay, bye-bye. Take care, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mike.
Bye-bye.